Okay, Daphne, I'm going to turn you back on.
Yes.
And Jim, wherever you went, turn you back on. Okay. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon if you're on the East Coast. Today is Saturday, March 31st, and this is the Business Trust Call. My name is Carol Worlius, and my partner, Jim, who I was going to give you a report on, is here with us today. So this is Carol and Jim. And my friend Judy, who usually helps us out on these calls, has recently had surgery. So Daphne is stepping in for Judy today. So good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
As you know, as most of you know, neither Jim nor I, or in this case Daphne, are attorneys or gurus or CPAs or tax specialists or wealth managers or anything like that. What we do know is business trusts. And, you know, as we get closer to our long-awaited RV or CE, whatever you want to call it, more and more people are looking for ways to protect their assets while still being able to manage and use those assets. So we've put together some issues you may find interesting enough to prompt you to look to us for some of those questions. So, Daphne, if you're ready, we're ready.
Okay. And I have some foreign currency that I hope will revalue soon. Now, how do I best protect it? Via a corporation, a foundation, an LLC, or a trust?
You know, I get a lot of those questions, as I'm sure most of you have had a lot of those questions. You know, there are many advantages and disadvantages to those entities. At some point, you might find some of them to be very useful, but probably more than you need initially. And initially, you know, we just need to be able to exchange our currency and put it in a vehicle, in this case a trust, that is going to protect it for you. Corporations, foundations, and LLCs are all state-chartered entities. And as such, they must be registered with the state, which is public record, pay an annual fee, have a registered agent, and in some cases send a copy of the charter or operating agreement to the state. Record keeping can be onerous, and the assistance of a lawyer may be needed.
Okay, well, thank you for that. So a corporation, a foundation, or an LLC sounds as if it might be more than I need right now. So what about statutory trust?
Well, some statutory trusts may have the same requirements as above. But with a revocable trust, you have the right to cancel or change it any time until the moment of your death. The problem with that is because you have that control, the IRS may consider part of your estate for taxable purposes. You know, while tax reform on the federal level is on the table right now, estates over $5.49 million, $5.5 million, could be facing a 40% haircut in 2018. While most of us would not be affected by these numbers right now, we may possibly be worth considering more than that post-RV.
Okay.
And most statutory trusts do not allow you to be the trustee of your own revocable trust. And that, of course, puts someone else between you and your money. And, you know, some people try to get around that by becoming trustees of each other's trust, signing blank checks for each other, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, while that may sound like an okay idea at the time, people do change. And it's something that may create a very uncomfortable strain in one's relationship.
Okay, and we don't want that.
No.
Okay. What else would you suggest?
In my opinion, and I know Jim will agree with me, the contract business trust is the best asset protection vehicle for this RV. The contract business trust is a common law document and is legal in all 50 states and common law countries. The right to contract is guaranteed by Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution, which is a common law contract itself. The benefits of a contract business trust are many. It's private. It's not required to be registered in any state right now except Nevada, unless it's actually engaged in operating a business. That ensures your privacy. There are no annual fees. Record keeping is minimal, and you can do it yourself. We provide you with plenty of instruction on how to do that. And one of the big things, you can be your own trustee, giving you full authority to do or not do anything you want. And there is no one between you and your money. You can name your spouse as co-trustee. One or both of you can become executive trustees, allowing one to act on behalf of the other. You can name your children the successor trustees. And to go even further, you can add a bloodline clause to ensure that your family's generational wealth does not fall into another's hands. So in other words, you can name your daughter a successor trustee, and she can name her kids, but she cannot name her husband. And we just prove the successor trusteeship by a simple DNA test or whatever they have available at the time. They're likely to have more sophisticated ways by the time this comes to any of us. You could also add a spendthrift clause, so no one can hypothecate or pledge his or her possible share of the trust income. You must designate at least one successor trustee. You can designate two or more, specifying that they both become trustees at the same time or one goes before the other. You can change its designation at any time for any reason.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of protection to me. Yeah. You said I could be my own trustee. Is that legal? Is this legal?
Yeah. Jim, would you like to take that one?
Sure. As Carol has said, this is a contract business trust, meaning the powers and duties of the trustee or trustees are outlined within the contract itself. And if I could, let me just back up a half a step and let you know that for some reason, and it's probably a good one in my mind, if you go to the law library and look up business trusts, you won't find anything in the T section of the law library involving these kind of entities. You have to look in the B as in boy section, because they are completely separate and distinct, as you could possibly imagine. Business trusts are much older than even this country itself, United States of America. So the history and usage and the law involving these kind of entities is very well settled, and it's most interesting to read up on some of the earlier contract business trusts. Are you still sending out that those pages for that,
yes,
Carol?
Yes, I
okay.
am.
And last time I counted, it was 162 pages of legal backup supporting business trusts. Is that correct, Carol?
Something like that, yeah. There's a lot, and there's a lot of references as well. There's whole book number 5 is all legal reference to the legality and the validity of the business trust. So,
now, having said that, let me just...
Later.
Go ahead.
I said a lot of these... questions that you're bringing up are addressed later in what we're planning here, okay?
All right. Let me just tell you that if you were to go out into the legal world and start talking about business trusts to most attorneys, they probably, in most cases, don't have a clue of what you're talking about. Right, Carol?
Absolutely.
And the reason for that is... the law has drifted almost completely and solely to statutory trusts, meaning those kind of trusts that are established by law, and whereas a business trust is established by contract law. And that's why they are as different as night and day, and they are. Carol and I have been involved in this area of law for, over 10 years, I would say, at least.
Since the 80s, Jim.
Yeah, since the 80s, okay. Well, that's a long time. And
yeah, really.
we've had a lot of experience in dealing with these kind of entities and know the ins and outs, and can tell you without hesitation, they are ideal for this kind of an endeavor that we're involved with here in international currencies. In fact, I wouldn't have anything other than a business trust owning my currency because I can still have signature authority over it, and yet there's no place in the statutory law that has a record of this entity's existence, or entity's existence if you have more than one, and I do, and so does Carol.
And so do several of our clients, actually. It's just such a superior way to manage these assets, especially the fact that you're able to be your own trustee. And, you know, we're talking about trustees a moment ago, and, you know, people wonder, okay, is this a conflict of interest? How can I be my own trustee? And as Jim said, you know, you look to the four corners of the contract, but once you exchange your assets, you no longer own them. By the terms of the trust, you are eligible to become trustee. And we feel that if you were able to put those assets together to begin with, you're the most logical choice to continue to manage them. Thus, there is still no one between you and your money.
So, well, what is the difference between an irrevocable and revocable trust, then?
Yeah, we just touched on this a moment ago, but a revocable trust can be changed or terminated at any time. Because of this, the IRS may invoke the clawback provision, putting your assets back into your estate, which could be added to your personal estate. This is a very, very important consideration at tax time. Irrevocable means the terms of the trust excuse me, cannot be changed. No one can force you to revoke the trust to pay someone else. It effectively gives you an empty pockets persona. In fact, we use this frequently for people contemplating having to go into a nursing home and having to sell all their assets. This way the assets can stay with the family. The most significant distinctions between revocable and irrevocable trusts are estate tax considerations. Property that you place in an irrevocable trust is no longer considered part of your estate, and that's really important, meaning that the property typically is not included in your estate's value when it comes to determining what, if you owe death taxes or if your family owes death taxes, and if so, how much. It also totally avoids probate issues.
Okay, thank you. Somebody told me that her attorney says common law business trusts have not been legal since the days of Benjamin Franklin. What do you say about that?
Well, after I stopped laughing, I wrote something down about this. And Jim just touched on this also about the history of the business trust.
Yeah.
And although the business trust has roots going back to Old England, the business trust made its debut in Massachusetts in 1827, long past Benjamin Franklin. As a result, a U.S. business trust today is often called the Massachusetts Trust in legal circles. The U.S. Supreme Court defined the Massachusetts Trust as a form of business organization, common in Massachusetts, consisting essentially of an arrangement whereby property is conveyed to trustees in accordance with the terms of the trust. The business is to be held and managed for the benefit of persons who hold transferable certificates showing the shares into which the beneficial interest in the property is divided. Now, guys, obviously I copied that from somewhere because I want you to have something other than just my or Jim's opinion. The basis for the terminology common law trust is that they are created under the common law of contracts and do not depend upon any statute for its existence. So see the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. So, again, further validating that this is not some old thing that's no longer valid. The business trust is recognized by the IRS and by the courts as a UBO, or unincorporated business organization. The business trust is a form of business organization which is similar to a corporation in which investors, in our case exchangers, receive transferable certificates of beneficial interest. The trustees are appointed to administer it for the advantage of its certificate holders. They administer the trust based on the terms set forth in the Declaration of Trust. The certificate holders receive certificates of beneficial interest as evidence of their interest in the trust, which is freely transferable. And finally, and I could probably go on all day, but we'll stop here, business trusts are legal in all 50 states and common law countries. So whoever this attorney is, did not know what they were talking about.
Okay. So why aren't banks, attorneys, and CPAs more familiar with business trusts?
Well, as we've just mentioned, and Jim mentioned as well, business laws are common law.
Right.
Common law is rarely taught in our colleges or universities anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some attorneys are aware of Massachusetts business trust, but once in place, they make no money from them. You know, attorneys are really big at pushing revocable living trust. And, you know, I've heard it said that a file cabinet full of revocable living trust is the attorney's retirement.
Oh, sounds like it.
It does, doesn't it? You think about it.
Okay. I've heard that there are two kinds of business trust, a pure trust and an associated type. What is the primary difference between the two? And also, what is a complex trust? Which one will I receive from you?
An associated trust is one in which the beneficiaries have a say in the management of the trust. A pure trust is one that is managed solely by the trustees. And while in this case, at least initially, the so-called beneficiaries or certificate holders may and probably are the same person as the trustee, you're acting as if you're wearing two different hats. So there is a difference between these two types of trust. A complex trust refers to how the trust manages its distributions. It does not mean that the trust is complicated. And what we provide is a pure, complex, non-grantor, irrevocable business trust. You know, it's quite a mouthful, which is usually why we usually just say trust or business trust.
Okay. All right. Thank you. What will be the business of my business trust?
The easiest and best way to answer this is simply estate planning. And, you know, while the best answer is always a truthful one, you suggest you do not say business trust to the banker, as they will expect state certification, et cetera, as you would with a typical business enterprise. And, again, you'd be far better off referring to it merely as a trust. Bankers understand trust. If you say business, you're going to have to jump through all kinds of hoops, and you probably won't get your account open. But just saying you want to open an account for your trust, you'd be good to go. So, you know, we're about 20 minutes in. Why don't we open this up for Q&A right now? Oh, we do have a few, so let's hang on here.
Okay.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you today?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Barely. Can you speak up a little bit?
Sure. Well, let me just turn my phone around. This is actually my first time on your call,
Carol. Welcome.
Thank you. I actually have several questions, but I'll try to make it brief. One of my biggest questions is this. Because there is a value to the currency before the RV, how do I protect? I mean, it seems like there's like two separate sequences here. I have the amount of my currency before the RV, and then I have the enormous amount of currency valued after the RV. So how do I have asset protection before the RV occurs? Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay, so that nobody knows what's happening. You mentioned empty pockets. I've heard you mention that, and I'm just wondering how that actually works. How am I really well protected so nobody knows what I have?
Well, as I said earlier, once you put anything into the trust, you no longer own it. So let's, for the sake of argument, say you've got 5 million dinar, and right now it's worth maybe you paid 5 grand for it, maybe. But obviously after this RV or CE, let's say it's worth $3, so that'll be $15 million. Yeah, is it $15 million as protected as the 5 million dinar? Absolutely. Because you can put anything into the trust, and it goes in at undetermined value. You could put 5 million marbles in there, 5 million dinar, $5 million. It doesn't matter. It goes at undetermined value. So nobody, absolutely nobody knows the worth of your trust.
Okay, when is the best? Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So when you go to make your exchange, you, Jennifer, are not exchanging that dinar. Your trust is making the exchange. The trust owns it. So the money will go from, you're going to give the banker your dinar, and the banker's going to give you the money, and the money is going to go into a trust account.
Okay, so is it best to have my trust in place before the RV actually happens?
Or yes.
I get it. Okay. What is the significance of how long a trust runs for, like 14 years, 21 years, that kind of thing? What is the significance of how long a trust actually lasts?
Okay, this trust lasts 25 years, and the reason there is a time limit, I mean, I don't know about other ones that last 14 or 21 or whatever, this one's 25. The reason there is a time limit on it is because we do not want to appear as a corporation which has unlimited life. So the trust has limited life, so it's lacking one of the, as it's written, one of the preponderances of a corporation. So that's why there is limited life. In this case, it's 25, but it is renewable for a like term after that point.
So when you say renewable, is it renewable upon, I mean, how do you actually renew? Do you start a new trust, or does that trust, just the actual trust itself, you have to?
Yeah, you write them in it. Yeah. You write them in
it. Okay, got it. Okay.
And you say you want to do, I mean, for example, the trust that I use for this business, Indicator Information. My husband and I formed this in 1992, and last year we wrote a minute to continue it for another 25 years.
You held a Board of Trustees meeting.
Yes. Have a Board of Trustees meeting and decide that you're going to stick around for another 25 years.
You
know, it's not registered anyway to begin with, so you don't have to re-register it.
Okay, I see. Okay. I have one last question, if that's okay. And
sure.
Everybody I know talks about all post-RV stuff, but what about all of the assets you own before the actual RV? What about my home, my car, things like that? What happens to all of those assets as far as the trust is concerned?
Okay, well, initially, what Jim and I have been suggesting for all these years is you put all your foreign currency into what we like to call a mother lode trust. So that's, you know, obviously the source of the money for in the future. But as far as whatever you owe now, as we've said, estate planning through these business trusts has been around for years. And in that case, when you do, okay, I'm going to set up my house, my car, and everything, my jewelry collection, that can all go into one or more trusts. But you don't want to put it in the same trust as your currency. So
okay,
I know a lot of people are looking forward to buying a new house or paying off the current house after this RV. And they're already, they've already got it in their mind. So when I get this house, I'm going to put it directly into a real estate trust, or I will have the real estate trust buy it for me.
Okay, so you're not protect. So you're not really protected then after the RV occurs. That's kind of where I'm going with this in my brain. It's. I want to know how I'm going to be protected with my current assets after the RV kicks in. You know, do I have to like rush and try to get a trust set to up to par for my or is that something I also need to do post RV?
I mean, you may want to do that post RV. I mean, a lot of people are going
to,
but you don't have to. I mean, right now you're sitting just, let's say, at RVs this weekend, praise God.
Next week, your house and your car
and your assets are all still going to be the same. The only difference is you're going to be a zillionaire. But your house and the property that you own now is still your property in your name. I mean, the only thing that's going to protect that, obviously you have insurance on all that stuff, but it's outside of the trust. If you, as I said, if you choose at some point to put it inside a trust, you can do so, but you do not want to put it in your mother lode trust. Would you agree, Jim?
Yes, I would say so. the main worry would be if you have substantial assets other than foreign currency in a trust, keep those separate from and put them in a second trust or a third trust. You can draw this out in a schematic or diagram, but the first and most important thing would be to protect your most valuable asset, which would probably be your foreign currency that we're talking about now.
Right. I'm just kind of wondering if I just need to sell my house and then it's like gone. But then what happens to all of that capital gains after, or that money?
You can
sell your car, you can sell your house, you can sell all of your assets, but then you still have the cash of those assets.
What do you want to have happen to that cash? Do you want to keep it? Do you want to donate it? Do you want it to go to your family? What's your wish?
I would just want it to go under the trust, but what you're basically saying is that money cannot go into the RV trust. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
We're recommending that you keep it separate in its own entity
and set up a second
business trust for it.
Okay, got it. I understand now. I do understand. It's been a pleasure talking with both of you. And, oh, by the way, how much is a trust with you? How much is a trust?
That's important, yes. The trust is $1,495. And if you want to send me an email, Jennifer, info@indicatorinformation.com, I can send you a whole bunch of information about the trust, including an application, okay?
Thank you so much. And how long does it take to actually get that trust? And how do I actually get it so that it's active before the RV happens, which we know is probably going to be here pretty quick?
Yeah, pretty quick, yeah. Typically, my turnaround time is less than a week, but I've been so busy because so many people are anticipating this to happen soon. So I'd say probably within 10 days. But I will get you what you need to go to the bank. Because I can send you that by email, okay?
I think I'm just concerned about privacy, you know, with the trust.
Total privacy.
You know,
the only one that knows about this is you and me.
But I don't have to wait to go to the bank, right?
No, so when I get your application, and this obviously applies to anybody that's listening to this call, when I get your application, the first thing I do is get your EIN to make your legal entity within the IRS, separate entity from yourself, separate identity. And the next thing I do is create the abstract of trust, which says that you have a trust. And it's really all that you need. You only need those two items to go to the bank.
Okay.
So when it's done, I will send, usually I send everything at one time, the EIN, the abstract, I email, and I put the hard copy in the mail. In this case, because we are so close, I am sending the abstract and the EIN by email the same day that you send me your application.
Got it. Okay. Thank
and
you so
money.
Very much. Yes.
And the money, yes. Thank you, Jim.
All right. I got it.
Thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate
Thank you.
The
Take
questions.
Care.
Bye-bye.
How do
Speaking
I
of money,
how do I
mention,
yeah.
mention the forms of payment that we accept, Carol.
Oh, yeah. We take all major credit cards, take cashier's checks. You can do Zelle. You can do PayPal. Just about anything.
Okay. How do I release myself from the call, or do you do that for me?
Oh, I can do it.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, Ray, you're up next. Hi, Ray.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is my first call. A couple of questions have been answered so far, but I did want to reiterate it's best to put the currency into the trust prior to the RV. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And I think this last lady and your answers were excellent, so I think it's answered how to contact you, how to make payment and all of those things. So I'll listen from here on out, and thanks again for your effort.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, wireless caller. Oh, hey, Charles, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing magnificent. How are you doing?
We're hanging out. You know, the sun's out. It's going to be a beautiful day. Tomorrow's Easter. We're looking forward to it.
Hey, especially in lieu of the RV.
Yeah, really.
How you doing, Judy?
I'm sorry?
Is that Judy with you today?
No, Judy had surgery this week, so we have a young lady named Daphne helping us out today.
Well, how you doing, Dad?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Jim and Jim, you have made my day again.
Yes.
I've been praying for you, buddy, and you sound like Jim.
Well, thank you. I'm getting better and stronger every day. The last year has been one I'd like to forget, most of it. But I'm out of the hospital and recovery center, and my wife had surgery 2 weeks ago on her foot, so she's in a walking boot cast, and so I'm now playing nurse to her.
Well, that's good. That's a blessed position to be in, to be able to help her, because she's helped you when you were down. But
I'm deeply in her debt, so I'm making payments.
I see. I understand. I won't hold the line too long, but while you're on, you made my day from hearing the strength in your voice and your comeback, and I'll be praying for your wife, too. But this is what I wanted to say. I never will forget, maybe there are a lot of new people on here, such as the previous caller that was talking about privacy and so forth. And I thought about maybe about 30 calls ago when I was struggling with the fact of how to get money out of the trust personally for me and my wife, and how that it took a while, and it finally clicked. And I wanted to say to especially the newcomers, if you hang in there and continue to go over the information and listen to what Jim and Carol is telling you, it'll finally click. And one of the monumental things, I know there are other ways to get money out of the trust, but one of the monumental things that really helped me is the day that I found out it really clicked. I was hearing it all the time, but the day it clicked in my mind about to get money out, and I was thinking on a low figure personally, and the light came on of how to get money out of the trust by borrowing and maintaining your privacy. And after you get the money, that you could do a 10-year balloon note. And at the end of the 10 years, paying 2% interest every year, if you so desire, you can roll that note over another 10 years, and how that you are really playing the bank and the banker at the same time, and you never get exposed to having to pay taxes. I just wanted to say that I thank you all for the laboring that you did and continuously, repetitiously saying the same thing over and over. And I wanted to say to a lot of the newcomers, if you're just hanging there, a lot of things that you scratch your head with and it seems like it's enormous and you can't handle it, if you hang in there and continue to learn the information, it will finally click. But that was a very monumentous time in my life concerning how to use the trust that really helped me.
In other words, you like the idea of being the borrower and the lender at the same time.
Exactly, man. It excited. The light went off, the sirens went off finally, and it's an exciting thing even learning and experiencing it before you ever even actually get the money into your hands, that you already know through repetitious learning and understanding how to operate. You got your bank, and you are the borrower from your own bank. And you maintain your privacy. You just got to keep good minutes, keep good records, and you're good to go.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Charles.
I wanted to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You got anything else for me today?
No more than Jim has made my day again. I was praying for him. I thank him. I'll continue to pray for you all. I'm out.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Charles. Take care.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Rob, how are you doing today? Rob? Well, I know you're on your computer. Sometimes it doesn't work real well.
My name is Star 6.
Okay, try Star 6. Well, you're more familiar, Daphne, with working from your computer than I am. So tell Rob what to do.
Yeah, he can just press star 6, or if you have the mute on, just unmute the microphone.
Yeah, his microphone on this end is unmuted.
Okay.
All right. Well, Rob, we're going to go a little further. If you can come back in, come back in. Thank you. Next one, Lawrence. How are you today? Lawrence, area code 310?
Yes, yes, yes. Hi, Carol. How are you? Hi, Jim. Hi, everybody. I've had my trust for a couple of years now, and the main reason I got it is because of the RV event, and it's taken so long that I really haven't done anything with the trust. Are we supposed to do the minutes for it every so often, or how does that work? Are we supposed to update that or do minutes?
You could do a minute, let's say, at the end of the year and just say the Board of Trustees met and it was determined that there was no news to report, end of meeting, and sign it, and that's the update of the minutes.
Okay. And as far as the Board of Trustees, I am the board then, right? There's no actual meeting with any other.
Well, you're in control of the Board of Trustees, so if there's only one trustee, you are it.
Okay. Good deal.
And Lawrence, I do have that. I do have a sample minute that says that, so if you want to drop me an email, I'll send you the
Absolutely.
Sample minute.
Okay? Absolutely. But we should. So is it like at least a minimum of like maybe once a year just to keep everything current? And?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Outstanding. Okay, will do. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. If we don't have any more questions here, and it doesn't appear that we do, why don't we just move on? Daphne, number 11.
All right. So how do my assets get into this business trust?
Well, there are four ways to transfer assets, by sale, gift, exchange, or assignment. And the business trust uses the exchange method.
Okay, thank you. With whom do I exchange then?
That's a good question. If business trust is a contract, like we mentioned earlier, one obviously cannot contract with him or herself, so we use a curator to effect this exchange. At this exchange, the curator temporarily takes title to your assets, in this case your currency, and transfers them into the trust. As part of the exchange, the curator gives you a total of 100 trust certificate units. The curator then appoints the first trustee.
Okay.
And while he or she can name any suitable adult person, as I said earlier, we believe that if you were the one that was wise enough to buy all that dinar, you are the most likely candidate to become the first trustee. And at that point, the curator exits the contract forever. There's no further responsibility, liability, authority. He or she is gone from the contract. But by choosing the first trustee, the creator can actually choose anyone. The creator can be anyone you choose. Some people may be concerned about any future liability, but as I mentioned, once the creator has performed his or her two tasks, the exchange and the appointment of the trustee, he or she is released from all future responsibility, duties, authority, or liability regarding the trust organization. And that is a big thing for a lot of people. I mean, who am I going to get to do this? Do they have to come to the exchange with me? Do they have to sign the application? Do they have to do? No, all they have to do, once you get your trust, the two of you need to stand before a notary and sign, I believe, four pages. And that's it. That's
okay.
Typically it. All one has to do.
Okay. Well, do I have to physically give the creator my assets to put into the trust? Like, do they need to know what I have or how much of it I have? And how does that work? And I know you can elaborate a little.
Yeah, this is very, very common. If some people, no big deal. They're going to name their adult child or their brother-in-law as the creator. And they don't care if that person knows. But other people might just ask somebody at work, hey, can you help me out with this, you know? So to paraphrase from the trust preamble, and this is almost exactly what I said a moment ago, the exchanger, in this case you, does hereby bargain, assign, convey, exchange and the deliver to the Creator, who now temporarily takes and holds title thereto in the trust organization, all that certain property of the exchanger is listed on Schedule A. This exchange does not constitute a sale or gift. So this exchange is on paper only. Your dinar could be sitting in a desk drawer, could be sitting in a safe at home or a bank safety deposit box. The creator is never going to see it, never has to see it. So what you're doing is exchanging your assets with the creator for $21 and 100 trust certificate units. And, you know, I suggest you actually lend the creator $21 or take him or out to lunch, because you don't want to have them out anything by assisting you. And some of you may have trust that say $10. That's okay. It still shows consideration. I use $21 because it puts it in a common law jurisdiction. You both have to initial Schedule A, but no amounts or values of anything need to be written in at that time.
Okay. Well, I've heard that the RV may or may not be a taxable event. Can you comment on that? And thank you for the previous information.
Yeah, and I think we've all heard this. From day one, I've heard it's not going to be taxable, and then it will be taxable. And, you know, back and forth, again, I'm hearing that it's not going to be taxable. However, I also want to be a little prudent. And I think it was Tony who said early on to set aside 50% for taxes. If it's taxable, you'll be covered. If not, you'll have that 50% as a bonus. You know, he made that statement several years ago before the federal tax laws that we have now, so 50% is probably more than necessary. But then there's also the issue of state tax. It may not be taxable on a federal level, but it may be taxable on a state level. So one thing we strongly suggest is utilizing a common business practice of domiciling the trust in one of the 7 states that do not have an income tax, state income tax. So when you domicile in any of those 7 states, stay away from Nevada, because they are now treating trusts the same as corporations, foundations, and LLCs with the same requirements. Would you agree, Jim?
Yes, we used Nevada for years, but then when they initiated a state income tax, we decided they shot themselves in the foot. So we now use our favorite, if you don't live in a state that does not have a state income tax like Texas or here in Washington, our first choice is Wyoming, right, Carol?
Absolutely. And we give you that information on who to call with part of the information we send out. So it's very easy to get a mailbox with a street address, and there are no stringent laws on the books that I have found about business trust. And as an aside, even if you are in a state that does not have a state income tax, get a mailbox near your house. You know, you want to protect your privacy and anonymity as much as you can. It's not very expensive. And, you know, they can take mail for you. They can sign for mail, whatever. But nobody needs to know that you might be getting big checks or anything like that. So it's best just to have a separate mailbox somewhere.
Okay. Now, this question was addressed a little bit earlier, but the big question is, how do I get money out of the trust?
And Charles touched on that a bit, and
yes.
I know Charles is right. If you listen to these calls over and over again, you get it, because it's often, all of this is so foreign to most of us. But there are several ways of getting money out of a trust. First of all, pay yourself a trustee salary. You're doing all that work, you deserve a salary, and you can make the amount as much or as little as you choose. If you find you can't make it at $10,000 a month, give yourself a raise. You know, this, of course, would be a taxable income. And as trustee, you can declare and pay yourself a distribution similar to a shareholder dividend. And again, it's taxable to you. If you're contemplating buying a new house or car, you can borrow from the house, and this is just exactly what Charles was talking about. How about a 10-year renewable balloon note at 2% interest? You must make the interest payments, though, or the IRS would consider it a gift. Jim, you want to expand on that a little bit?
Well, since you're the borrower, and the lender, in this case, as Carol just mentioned, you get to decide what the terms of the borrowing will be, a term of the note. And you want to evidence the borrowing with a note and the interest rate and when that interest rate would be paid. So if you stop and think about this, you get to decide all of those things with respect to the borrowing of the money from the trust as opposed to taking ordinary income from the trust as a salary or bonus and have it taxable as income to you personally. So for those reasons, we think it makes a lot of sense to, if you need to do so and you're short of money, you could borrow from the trust personally or take a note, but evidence that and put it in your trust binder as to what you've done so that you, if you're ever questioned by anyone, you have documentation as to what you've done. And we'll talk about that more individually. If there's still a question, you can call either Carol or me.
Okay. And another consideration for big ticket items is to simply fund another trust to own that new house or boat. The initial exchange from one trust to another is not a taxable event. And like I said earlier, you can fund the trust with marbles or dinar or money or whatever. Whatever it is, it's not a taxable event at the initial exchange. So let's see, your mother loathe trust has got several million dollars in it, and you see a house that you really like for, say, $500,000. All right, so you could borrow the money, like we've talked about, which makes a great deal of sense. Or you could just have the mother loathe trust fund a real estate trust to buy that house. Not a taxable event. So, and the trust can also pay a lot of expenses for you. You will have office expenses, you know, professional assistance, as well as automobile expense. You know, if you're planning a trip, make it a business trip so you can write off most of the expenses. You know, likewise, maybe with a golf or tennis membership. I mean, you do need to expand your circle of potential business offers, right? And the trust can also pay for your insurance needs. So there's a lot of ways, different ways to get money out of the trust.
Awesome. Okay, now I know we just talked about this exchange may not be a taxable event, but how can I take advantage of the one-time tax break?
I think most of us have issues that we need to address post-RV. You know, whether it be outstanding debt, a new car, helping out friends, we don't want to pay taxes if we don't have to. So how about this scenario? And I have to remind you, well, I am not a tax professional. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a wealth manager. I sell trust. But this is, in my mind, and in some of my colleagues' mind, how this might be able to work. So you've exchanged your currency for dollars. Mr. Banker, I now have X million dollars. I would like you to put $100,000 into my personal account. Here is my account number or wire instructions. I would also like to take $9,800 cash with me when I leave today, and I just heard today we can't get more than seven, as well as a debit credit card attached to my personal account. I will also need these wires to be sent, and here's a list of cashier's checks that I need. I will need a pass-through account for X amount of dollars, and I would like to put the balance into an account at your bank, Mr. Banker, for ABC Trust, and here is my paperwork. Again, that's the abstract and EIN should be all that you need. As I said, this is just my opinion, and it's very simplified, but I think you get the idea. Jim, okay. You want to comment on that?
So we have to put our thinking cap on when it comes to some of these things. We'll be going into greater detail about what you've just discussed after the RV. So don't worry about all of the ins and outs of this at this time. Just know that the same questions that you have, we have. And we'll be addressing those, and we'll be having guest speakers attend these future calls, some with excellent credentials, CPAs and so forth, who are either clients or would like to have you as their clients. Right, Carol?
Well, didn't you say that we've got a couple people lined up that are ready, willing, and able when the event occurs, but not before?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Good. I know a lot of people have been concerned about that. But Daphne, you want to go next?
Sure. Now, should I put my house, my car, boat, or motorhome in my business trust?
Well, this actually goes back to one of the questions that Jennifer was asking.
Right.
All those items have potential liability to them. Putting them into your mother lode trust puts all of those assets of the trust at risk. So we suggest separate trusts for each house, car, boat, motorhome, etc. It may seem a bit overwhelming to think about, oh my God, what am I going to do with all those things? It's just protection. You have insurance for all those things. They don't need bank accounts. They just need somebody else other than you personally to own them. So a trust that you manage is going to own the house, own the car, own the boat or motorhome. Like I said, they don't need bank accounts. It's not extensive record keeping, but they are protected because they are not in your name, and they're certainly not in the same trust as the mother lode trust.
So that kind of protects me. Like if someone should sue me if I'm in a car accident, they can only get what's in the trust for the car?
Yes.
Okay.
They're going to try to go after you, but you don't have anything personally.
Right. And so they won't get anything. Either way.
Yeah, there you go.
Somebody.
Well, I need to sign off, but any questions that people might have, they can either direct to you and then you on to me or whatever. But
sure.
Let me just assure you folks that we do know what we're talking about. We've been doing this for many, many years. We have hundreds and hundreds of clients who've enjoyed following the counsel advice that we are sharing with you today. And we thank you for tuning in, and we'll look forward to talking with you in the very near future. Okay?
Thanks, Jim. Talk to you later. Say hi to Judy.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Somebody else is offering a package of 10 trusts. Now, do I need that many?
Well, you know, I just talked about having trusts over various things. And while I feel very strongly about having multiple trusts, I think 10, at least initially, is probably overkill for most of us. I don't even anticipate needing 10. You know, we do offer a custom multi-trust program utilizing secondary trusts, real estate trusts, vehicle trusts, charitable trusts, which are not 501c3s. But we can put together just about any program that you want. It's all on a trust-by-trust basis. It's not part of a package.
Okay. Well, what is included in the business trust I get from you?
Well, our business trust is a complete package. You will receive the contract and declaration of trust, trust indenture with personalized minutes for your use. You'll receive two 50-unit trust certificates as well as two blanks for future use. As I mentioned earlier, we obtain your EIN number and complete an abstract of trust, which is more than likely all that you will need at your exchange. Excuse me. We recommend not showing or offering the entire trust document, but perhaps have it available in a briefcase if needed. On your trust, every instance that requires a signature includes the printed name of the person signing, as well as color-coded sticky flags to guide you through the signing. Would you like to comment on that, Daphne? Because I know you've been through a couple trusts with me. So what did you think of the way it was presented?
It made it a lot easier for me to have it notarized because we had all the points, all the flags there, who's supposed to sign where, and that took care of everything. And it made it a whole lot easier. It really did. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Now, many people have asked about a certification of a trust or resolution. What are they?
The abstract of trust that we provide tells the bank all the pertinent information they require for opening an account. I believe California has a specific certification of trust, which is a recorded instrument, and it generally revolves around probate, as I recall, but it includes the same information as our abstract. A resolution gives you the authority to open and maintain bank accounts, and again, that information is part of the abstract. the last minute of your trust appoint you as executive trustee, conveys that authority as well. We supply 5 booklets on the trust, various minutes, including various minutes and forms and other material about the uses of the business trust. And book 5 is full of legal backup regarding the trust. And as Jim said earlier, you know, as far as legal backup, should you wish to study this yourself, and we encourage you to do so, look it up in a law library. Go to the B as in boy section, as the business trust is a totally different entity than the trust definition you will find as P as in Tom section. And our website, www.indicatorinformation.com, is now up and running. You will be amazed at the amount of information that we have on that website for you. It's full of minutes, resolutions, contracts, etc. Mm-hmm. And it is a members-only website, so only clients get to go to it. So you must request an invite code from me. Any new clients will automatically get the invite code, but anyone that is currently a client, just send me an email, and I'll make sure you get the code.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Now, what else do you offer for estate planning?
Well, you know, we've talked before about estate planning is not just taking care of the money. Estate planning is taking care of your family. So we offer the triple play, which includes a pour over will, which states that anything that you still own in your own name at the time of your death pours over into whichever trust you name. There are also some blank schedules to use should you decide that you really want your niece to have your, you know, family treasured jewelry or whatever. You can use those pages if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to. We also include a durable power of attorney in case you cannot make decisions for yourself, whether it be because of a health issue or you're out of the country. And we have a health care directive. And as most of you know now, you need a health care directive. The first thing they ask you at the doctor, do you have a health care directive? They will provide one for you if you don't have one, but typically all it does is gives the provider your permission to get treatment from them. The one that we provide is much more detailed, and it answers a lot of questions. I mean, if you're in a coma, you don't want your kids arguing about what kind of treatment you're going to get. All those questions are there, and you make the decisions yourself. So the cost for triple play is $350 for a couple and $275 for a single. It just sort of is the triple play is sort of the icing on the cake, but it's part of a package to have. Well, Daphne, I think we have a few more questions here. Hang on. Area code 631. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi, Jim. This is Veronica. I'm calling because I want to know, with the land trust, do you wait until after you get the money, after you get the house, to start deciding that you're going to do it? I mean, do you have to have some pay down on the house first or something? How do you go about the land trust?
What you're putting into the trust, the land trust, is the paid-for part, is the equity. I suggest buying a house through a trust. So either you're going to borrow the money, as we talked about earlier, or you're going to form a new trust. But you're going to buy buy this house in the name of that land, a real estate trust.
Mm-hmm.
So 123 Main Street is going to buy the house.
Okay.
If you see a house, you know, you need to act on right away, you know, want to put a down payment or escrow, you're going to buy it in your name and or assigns. So when it comes time to closing, it can go directly into the trust.
Okay. So in that case, you're going in the name of the trust then, it's the real estate trust, in a way.
Yes.
And so it's not your name, it's the real estate trust.
Correct. But like I said, if you see a house that you absolutely want to make an offer on and you don't have a trust in place yet, you're gonna make this offer your name and or assigns.
And or
it's very important to add those words to it, because that means you can at the time of closing, put it into the name of a trust.
And the information as to how to go about creating this land trust is on their website?
I don't know if that's on there yet.
Okay.
But it will be. If it's not there yet, it will be.
So basically, it's a very simple process of creating that land trust.
I'm sorry?
It's a simple process to create
It's easy. It's just fill in an application, and I do the rest.
Oh, and it's done right there with the transaction, or you go to an office or something?
You contact me, and I create the trust.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Then the other thing I wanted to ask you, the successor trustee. The successor trustee is, say, that is now in position of the person that has the authority. Can they name successor trustees as well if there are no more that follows?
Yes, absolutely. They need to.
Okay. Okay, so just in case to make sure that there's continuity in this society.
And if you've added a bloodline clause, it needs to be part of your blood. It needs to be one of your kids or one of your grandchildren.
Okay, so in that case where you don't have one, they can act. I can choose somebody who will act on their behalf.
Absolutely, yes. Uh-huh.
Now, if you have a trust, one more question. If you have a trust and you know, there's one person, say you have your child that's doing it. When you open the bank account, can they have a joint account to give help or whatever, that they do it wisely or no?
I don't think that's a good idea.
Is that a good idea, right? Okay, all right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we have another one here. Paul, how are you today? Paul?
Hello?
Hey,
Carol, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I'm glad to see that you're back up to speed. I do have two questions for you. One may be a little redundant, but I'm just trying to get some clarity because I'm taking baby steps with this process, being new to this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, when I go with me the trustee, the creator, and my successor trustee, we're going to go to meet the Notary Public to bring the money into the trust. Do I physically have to take the money there and have it already counted out?
No, not at all. And the only ones that need to go and sign before a notary are you and the creator. The successor trustee does have to sign, but that signature does not need to be notarized.
Okay. And my second question, after this RV takes place, will your position switch to a consultant, and can people hire you as a consultant to work with them on a development further steps on their truck?
Well, that's a good question. I have promised everybody I'll be around for about 6 months after the RV to create trust. I will have some people that will take over for me.
Okay.
I'm probably going to be available from time to time, you know, for a telephone consultation, something like that.
Okay. Well, then I'm fine. Thank you very much for allowing me to ask my questions.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking. Any other questions today? Well, it looks like we're done here. So, again, unless anybody has any other questions, I think we'll call it a day. You know, like many of you, I've heard that we must have a trust when we exchange. So I urge you to be prepared. You know, while it's said that the bank will offer some kind of temporary or skeleton trust to get you started, don't forget, folks, that will make the bank your new partner. Typical turnaround time right now is, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks, but I expect that to be considerably longer post-RV. Should you decide you need a business trust, now I will send you the EIN and abstract of trust immediately by email. The completed trust will be mailed to you soon after. You know, our business trusts are priced, well priced, and we believe it, only $14.95 for new clients and $11.95 for additional trust or family members. And we also offer a 20% referral fee for any fully paid new trust. So with that, thank you, Daphne, for your help today. I really appreciate it. And thank you. I'm glad that Jim was able to join us.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you all. Yes. Thanks for your attention and attention. Daphne?
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were going to say
something. Thank you all. Thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you. Well, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. So, everybody, have a happy Easter. Go RV. And I look forward to hearing from you soon. Go enjoy this beautiful, sunshiny day. And if nothing else happens, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Take care. Bye.